Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Christmas Day has come and gone. What'd you get for Christmas? Isn't that the famous question? As soon as I went back to school, I remember every year, it's like, well, what'd you get for Christmas? Well, what'd you get? We used to compare our gifts. Gift giving sometimes, this time of year, can become stressful for some people. You know, I don't know, there are those in my family who, like, give the perfect gift, you know? And I got a couple of them this year. I don't know what you got, but I got some good gifts this year. It's like, perfect. So, what that does to me is it puts stress on me. Because I don't get the perfect gift for people. I've struck out. I've struck out in the past. And even this Christmas, I struck out once. So sometimes I got to get multiple gifts because I know I'm going to have at least one strikeout. So the idea of giving the perfect gift sometimes, you know, that idea of wanting to give the perfect gift can sometimes overtake us, you know, and you start, and if you let it, that fear starts to creep in, that, you know, what if they don't like it? What if they reject it? You know, and that lady at the counter maybe says, you know, do you want a gift receipt so they can take it back, you know? I'm all about the gift receipts, just in case. Trying to get somebody the perfect gift sometimes gets harder as the years go by. And St. Paul, in our epistle text, gives us a suggestion about gift giving. Well, maybe it's more than a suggestion. Of something that's more sure, more lasting, the kind of gift that you really want to give. The Apostle Paul tells us, give the gift of love as a gift. And really, what could be a better or more perfect gift than that? And that's what we've been given. So I want you to think a little bit today about, you know, the opposite of giving is receiving a gift. You know, and when you're a little kid, you're great at that, you know? If you enjoy, you know, kids these days or young grandkids or maybe even grandkids, great grandkids, receiving gifts can be easy, you know, or should be. You know, just simply receiving love or care or mercy. Sometimes we forget how to do that. Sometimes we're not so good at receiving gifts, which makes it even more stressful for the person who's trying to give it. So, uh-oh, yeah. Exactly, that's the point. Sometimes, surprisingly, the ease of receiving tends to be the opposite of what we think it should be at this time of year. Some people say, maybe you hear this time of year. I'm sure you've heard it this time of year. It's better to finish this sentence for me. It's better to give than to receive. Right. Why do you think people say that? I think people say that with good intentions for good reason. They say that because the focus is on the person who's doing either the giving or the receiving. And it's, you know, it's a focus on where is the heart of the person. The world would like to encourage this giving behavior, you know, certainly for good reason. But I think we need to be reminded that this Christmas is about the gift of forgiveness, God's gift of forgiveness to us. It's a free gift that comes with no strings attached. There's no store receipt in case you don't like it. Because it is the perfect gift. We receive this gift from Jesus without us doing anything. You know, if you say there's a nice list and a naughty list, well, we've all been on the naughty list. And we still get this perfect gift from Christ, our Lord. And in this case, I think the important thing is receiving it. Receiving that gift is incredibly important. It comes to us directly. And it comes to us directly in the form of, first, this baby who was born in Bethlehem. And it's a nice sentimental picture, but what does it represent? It's a gift to us. That's why we give gifts to each other at this time of year. Because of the gift that's been given to us through that baby, Jesus, the Son of God. God gives us His Son. And you heard in the Old Testament reading and also in the Gospel reading about how God gives us this reminder, that whole thing about the firstborn sons, the firstborn to open the womb. Well, that points to Jesus, the gift that was given to us. And in the Old Testament, in Exodus, it pointed back to God's redemption through the tenth plague against Egypt, against the firstborn who was killed so that the people could be set free. And that points forward to the cross, the firstborn of God, the Son of God, so that we could be set free, given freedom and forgiveness through Jesus Christ in the form of the Son of God who became human for us. The perfect gift. God, in Colossians here, Paul says, he calls us God's chosen ones. He says that you and I are beloved. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. This is no small declaration for the faithful children of God, that you are beloved by God, given that perfect gift of forgiveness and love. So he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. What God has given you, I mean, sometimes we struggle with that. We struggle with that all the time. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Sometimes we go through our lives and we say, I don't have time to be patient. It's supposed to be funny because we just don't get it. I don't have time to be humility. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy to be meek. The meek don't inherit the earth, you know? It doesn't seem like it in this world. I don't want to be meek. I want what I want now. Compassionate hearts, sometimes we're running, looking for that perfect gift for our sake. This time of year, we don't feel time to be compassionate. It's because we don't know where our center is. Our center is in Jesus Christ. Our center is in the gift of love that He gave us. The center of a Christian life is love. And how does it play out? Well, in many ways, but one thing I want to point out to you. Oftentimes, we're not willing to forgive. We're not willing to forgive a hurt or a trespass against us. And you know why that is? If you think about it, you are unwilling to forgive sometimes, and you think that you've got power over somebody because you're not going to forgive them. They just don't deserve it, and I'm not going to forgive them. Whew. Wow. Do I want God to look at me that way? Because I don't deserve it. But we think that if we don't forgive them, even if we haven't talked to them in years, maybe. But I'm not going to forgive them. Because as long as I don't forgive them, I've got power over them. And that power somehow gives me something for that hurt that I feel. Let me tell you something. It's not you who's holding the power then. Instead, Christ comes to us and says, put on love. You are my chosen ones. You are the ones I've redeemed. You are the ones I sent my Son, Jesus, to redeem with His blood. So put on compassionate hearts. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. What does He say? Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. God has given you the power. God has given you the authority. And guess what? He's enabled you by giving you love, His love, to do something about it. And that is to forgive. He's given you power and authority to forgive, like He forgives you. And that is something that will change your life, and it will change the life of the one that you love and forgive. Try it. It works. The transforming power of forgiveness. That's the power that you have given to you by God through Jesus Christ. He says, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So when you're going through your life, and it seems like everything's going every different direction, and you don't have time to be compassionate and humility and humble and meek and patient, let it all be tied together and centered in the love of Christ. That's the center of a Christian life. And all these things that seem to be going all over in your life, they can slow down. Center your life in the love of Christ. And maybe, just once, before you take down your Christmas tree, if you haven't already, sit down next to it. Picture yourself in your best chair next to the Christmas tree and sit down just for a minute or two and think about the best gift you ever got. The best gift you got at Christmas. The best gift that God has given you. And His Son, Jesus Christ. Is there any more great and perfect gift than the gift of love? Knowing that even though you don't deserve it, God loves you and forgives you? How about sharing that? Maybe think about that gift like a beautiful gold pocket watch. Maybe you've inherited from your grandfather. And it's so well made that it keeps perfect time. God loves you so much that as long as the last clock is ticking, God will still love you. That's why He gave His Son for you. that's what you have to share. So with joy and with thanksgiving, receive what is yours. God's gift of forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive it and give it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.